This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for World Net Daily. My guest at this time is Marco Rubio, former Speaker of the Florida State House of Representatives, and he's also a Republican candidate for the open Senate seat that will be on the ballot in 2010. Just a few days ago, we talked about the battle for the future of the Republican Party in a special congressional race in New York, in which the party has rallied behind a liberal nominee. Down in Florida, Mr. Rubio says he is the conservative alternative to a too liberal Republican governor, Charlie Crist, who is right now the front runner for that Republican nomination. But a recent poll shows that the Republican race is getting tighter. And Marco, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, the Quinnipiac poll shows that right now you trail the governor by about 15 points, but still half of Florida Republicans say they don't know enough about your campaign to form an opinion of you one way or the other. Those numbers are quite a bit better than they were just a few weeks ago, in which the governor had a 30-point lead. What do you attribute the difference to?
Just hard work. You know, I think people are learning more about us. We've always believed that our only disadvantage in this race was the fact that we were largely unknown in the state and people aren't going to vote for someone they don't know. But as we're introducing ourselves to people across the state of Florida through media appearances and public appearances and using new technology, we're gaining traction and people are learning about our message. They're excited about the fact that they're going to have an opportunity to vote for someone as opposed to vote against someone in the election cycle. They have the opportunity in this Republican primary to vote for someone who they don't have to compromise their principles on certain issues. In essence, the message of our campaign is that you can be a principled conservative and win elections, even in a state like Florida. And that's what we're running on, that's what we're working on, and it's met success. So we've come a long ways, but there is still a long ways to go.
When you go around the state of Florida, Marco, and people get to know you, what do they want to know about where you stand most of all? There's so many big issues right now. What do they care about most?
You know, the issues that come up time and time again are the ones that are being reported on. It's the health care debate in Washington. It's our position on the stimulus package. It's immigration. It's national defense. And, you know, we tie all that into one major issue, and that's what kind of country do we want to live in? Do we want to continue to be an exceptional society, unlike any in human history, or do we want to become more like the rest of the world? And, you know, our campaign is all about arguing that we should not become like the rest of the world, but, in fact, America should continue to be a special and unique place.
It's been said by some, I believe by including you yourself, that the man that Governor Crist nominated to fill the remainder of the term left by Senator Martinez and his resignation, George Lemieux, is kind of like his own proxy holding the seat until he would potentially win that seat. What have we seen from him, if anything, to give us an indication about what a Senator Crist would be like?
Well, I don't think I think he's off and doing his own deal now in Washington. He's got his eyes on his own ambitions for whatever the future holds for him. So, in his voting record so far, he's only been there a few weeks. So, and he's clearly a junior member of the minority party who is termed out. So, you know, most people know that he's not become a major player. It's hard to become a major player in the Senate in 16 months, particularly when everybody knows you're not coming back. So I'm focused on this campaign and the fact that Charlie Crist has a record as a governor. I mean, he's you can go around saying you whatever you want, but your record speaks louder than your bumper sticker. And he has a record of supporting cap and trade, the stimulus package, the right of restoring voting rights for felons, which he worked with Acorn on. You have an record of appointing liberal judges to the Supreme Court. You have a $2 billion in new taxes and fees. So this is all reality. I mean, this is what's happened here in Florida under his watch. And so the campaign will be about that. And obviously, I understand that election year conversions happen all the time in politics, but this one's pretty dramatic.
You sent out a press release earlier this week, Mr. Rubio, saying that a million jobs in Florida have been lost under Charlie Crist's watch since the start of 2007. How much of the blame does he deserve for that?
Well, I think the blame falls on the fact that we, despite repeated efforts by the Florida House of Representatives to pass meaningful tax reform here in Florida, he decided to go through for a poll-driven measure that ended up not doing anything. And I think it was the missed opportunity that we're now paying the price for. The other reason why that's relevant is because he said that the stimulus package was all about jobs. In fact, he said jobs, jobs, jobs. The reason why he went on stage and hugged Barack Obama and embraced the stimulus package was because it would create jobs in Florida. Well, that hasn't happened, but we're still stuck with the bill. In essence, my children and grandchildren now owe $800 billion they didn't owe before, but you know, we don't have the jobs to show for it. At least if we were gotten jobs in return, you could say, well, we got something for it. The only lasting impact of this stimulus package, which he supported, is the $800 billion in deficit.
Mr. Rubio, you mentioned another major issue that you believe there are stark differences between you and the governor on is immigration. There are those who say that a strong and aggressive policy against illegal immigration is discriminatory towards Latinos. You, of course, are one. So how do you explain where you stand to folks?
We shouldn't be the anti-illegal immigration party. We should be the pro-legal immigration party. And I think our legal immigration process in America is broken. The problem is we can't fix the legal immigration process until we deal with the border issue. The American people no longer trust the federal government to do anything on immigration until they feel like the federal government has gotten control of our borders and of the abuses of the visa process. So step one is to secure the borders and fix the visa process, in essence, stop the inflow of illegal aliens. Step two is then to go and fix the legal immigration process so that people can continue to legally immigrate to the United States in a positive way that contributes to our country and our society. I think that's what our position should be.
And what does the governor say?
The governor supported the McCain bill, which would have created what they call a path to citizenship, but what I believe really is amnesty. In essence, if you entered this country illegally, you should not be rewarded with a path to citizenship. And it's not because we're cruel or we hate these people. We know they came for jobs and they want to improve their family. The problem is that if you grant amnesty, what you are doing is you are telling people that if you can come into this country illegally and you're able to stay here long enough, you're going to get to stay. And why would anybody go through the legal process if the illegal process is cheaper and faster?
Mr. Rubio, there's a lot of national attention on your efforts to win this primary against a sizable favorite in Governor Christie. You've even been on the cover of National Review magazine. So a lot of people see this as a battle for the future of the Republican Party, moderate versus conservative. Do you see it that way as well?
It's deeper than that. It's principled versus lack thereof. I mean, it's about what do we stand for? I mean, what are we going to just elect people that will say or do anything in order to win an election? Are we going to elect people just because they've done a better job of manipulating public opinion? Or do we want the folks that are running with our party's banner to stand for clear, principled solutions? And I think that's what this election is about. Look, I respect people who have principles, but I disagree with them. In essence, though, they're liberals, they're left of center, they have more faith in government's ability to do things than I do, and that leads them to have concrete public policy. I disagree with them, I'll debate against their ideas, but I respect the fact that their ideas are driven by principle. What I think is unfortunate in American politics are candidates that will say or do anything. Literally, they will say or do anything. Whatever's popular, that's what they're for. So when the stimulus and the president was popular in February, they were for it. Now that it's not so popular, they're against it. I think that's what's wrong with American politics. And quite frankly, that's one of the things that's been wrong with our Republican Party.
You mentioned that a lot of the issues folks in Florida are worried about are the same ones we're discussing on a daily basis here in Washington. Do you think the likes of the Tea Parties and the town hall protests and so forth are very important in getting behind your candidacy, providing fuel for your candidacy because of the outrage that a lot of folks feel towards what's happening here in the nation's capital?
Well, they're important because a lot of these are people that have never been involved in politics before. They've largely sat back and watched. They voted. You know, but they're too busy raising their families and running their businesses and going to work every day to be involved in politics. But they finally realize they can't be silent anymore. They finally realize that this country is at a real crossroads where we need to decide what role government's going to play in our lives. And they're unhappy with the direction that this leadership of this country would take us. And they want somebody to stand. They want people to stand up and advocate for an alternative position. And so that's why the Tea Parties are important. And that's why I think they're a positive development in American politics.
Last question before we let you get back on the campaign trail, Mr. Rubio. In the months ahead, those other 50% that don't know enough about you yet, how do you reach them?
I mean, this is a big state. We raise money, and I need help doing that. So I ask people to go on my website, marcorubio.com, and donate and learn more about us, sign up for our effort. You know, just keep working. I mean, the thing that's gotten us to this point is a lot of hard work. We go anywhere to speak that we're invited. And then eventually, you know, we'll hope we're going to raise enough money to be able to communicate with voters across television and radio. That time will come. But right now, it's just the old-fashioned way, and that is go in front of any group that will hear us and speak.
Mr. Rubio, we thank you very much for your time today. We look forward to checking in with you as the campaign continues.
Thank you.
Marco Rubio, former Speaker of the Florida State House of Representatives, candidate for the Florida Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.